According to our next guest, the link between ordinary American people and their government is broken, and special interest groups increasingly control every level of government. The necessity of raising huge sums has completely changed the character of politics, determining what elected representatives stand for and how they spend their time. Nick Penniman is the co-author of the new book Nation on the Take, How Big Money Corrupts Our Democracy and What We Can Do About It. And we welcome Nick Penniman to the roundtable this morning. Nick, thank you very much for being with us.
Great. Thank you, Joe.
Executive director of Issue One and has been the co-founder and director of the Huffington Post Investigative Fund. Tell us what brought you to the story and wanting to look at the impact of big money.
Well, as you kind of just suggested with my bio, I had been a publisher and investigative reporter in Washington for 15 years. And most of the good stories that I was doing, or that the people who worked for me were doing, led back in some way to a policy dysfunction, which led back in some way to the power of money in politics and the power of lobbyists and wealthy interests to get what they want out of the system while the common good kind of suffers. So that's initially what tweaked us, is that Wendell, my co-author, found something very similar. He worked at Cigna Healthcare, and then he left Cigna and kind of blew the whistle on the health insurance industry and wrote a book about it called Deadly Spin. And when he was writing Deadly Spin, he was looking into the policies that were driving up costs in healthcare and making the system way too complicated, which also led back to money in politics. So it seems to be the kind of root of many evils that he and I covered when we were journalists, and that's why we're doing this.
In looking at this project, at understanding, what do you think it's important for people to know to understand the problem and how ultimately the system is being corrupted by this money?
I think that there are two pieces to it. Number one, I think it's really important for people to understand that if this is a cancer, it's currently a stage 4 cancer. It was a stage 2 cancer in the 1980s and then kind of reached up to stage 3 in the 1990s and early 2000s, but it's now a stage 4. This is a problem that's metastasized significantly in the last 20 years, and if we don't deal with it, I'm not entirely sure we're going to be able to ever pass legislation that really solves the problems that we're facing. So that would be number one, is that this is severe. This is a crisis. This isn't just something that's always been a part of the American politics, and it's bad, and we don't like it. This is severe, number one. Number two, I think the most pernicious part of the money is not the stuff that you actually read about in the news on a daily basis. What you hear about in the news is Jeb Bush raised $100 million for a super PAC, and this big family called the Koch family is going to raise $900 million in this election cycle to pump into it. You hear about the big donors and the big super PACs and the ad buys and stuff like that. That's really not what is messing up Washington so badly. What messes up Washington is the day-in, day-out routine of your average member of Congress who spends 3 to 4 hours a day on the phone talking to rich people, dialing for dollars, trying to get money from them. And then when he or she's not on the phone, they spend another 1 to 2 hours doing in-person fundraising, most of the time from the special interests that they're supposed to be regulating based on their congressional committee assignments.
So let us begin with a somewhat baseline definition of what big money is, of how you define that.
So big money for us is, are the people who are maxing out at the $2,700 checks, that's called hard money, and then certainly the people who are writing the big super PAC checks and the independent expenditure checks, but only 20% of the money that's in the system is what's called independent money, so super PACs, and then these groups called 501c4s, which are known as dark money groups, and we can talk about those later if you want. 80% of the money, though, is what's called hard money fundraising, and that's the money that goes directly to the candidates' campaigns and then directly to the political parties' committees, fundraising committees. And that money is the bulk of the system, and members of Congress are responsible for raising all of that money. Now, in 2000, the 2000 cycle was a $3 billion election cycle. This cycle, this year, is expected to be a $10 billion-dollar election cycle. And so you've got the same number of members of Congress who are having to raise three times as much as they did a mere four presidential elections ago.
We were talking about this on the program the other day with a guest where we said, you know, it's a lot like when there is a cold day, a very, very cold day, and people will say, see, there is no such thing as climate change.
Right.
And the concern being that when you have somebody like Jeb Bush who blows through $130 million and doesn't win and doesn't even show up, that people say, okay, but see, this is a perfect example of how money doesn't buy power.
Sure. And there will always be exceptions to every single rule on earth. Every single rule on earth, there'll be some exception. In the case of money in politics, 93% of those who spent more than their opponents in the 2014 cycle won. So, you know, most of the time, the money really matters a lot. Listen, if it didn't matter, members of Congress wouldn't be spending more than half their time raising it. They know how much it matters because they're the ones who are having to deploy that kind of money in the races. So, you know, I think that there's only a small percentage of people who would say that because a lackluster campaign like Jeb Bush's ended up tanking, that somehow would, you know, suggest that money doesn't have an effect on policy and politics in America.
So a large part of the book is the second part of the subtitle, which is, and what we can do about it. So I really want to focus on that. Because many of us feel helpless, especially when we have Supreme Court decisions that help make us feel helpless. So what do we do about it?
So let's be really clear about, start with Citizens United, and be really clear about what that decision accomplished and didn't accomplish. And as you know, it was handed down in 2010. It was a 5-4 decision on the Supreme Court. And what it specifically said is that corporations could spend money in the context of political campaigns, period. A lower court ruling about a year later called Speech Now, which extended the logic of Citizens United, said that if spending by corporations and others was an act of political speech, then giving should be too, and giving to independent groups, meaning PACs and these 501c4 dark money groups, therefore should be unregulated and limitless. So that's when you saw the rise of the billionaire, centimillionaire donors in the system who started writing the big checks to these independent groups. Remember, that's only 20% of the problem. So, but that's all Citizens United did. So it kind of encouraged more rich people to give more to some of these independent groups. In the meantime, though, here's all the stuff that you can do despite it. We could develop brand new ways of financing politics in America. The systems that focus on generating small dollars from regular people, which would then, of course, return the fealty of politicians back to the people and away from the super rich. We can do new ethics and lobbying laws. The one that is my favorite is in South Carolina, if you are a registered lobbyist, you cannot make a contribution to a political campaign because it looks like corruption. It looks like you're buying something. We could do that at the federal level. We can also do complete and total and immediate online transparency of all the money spent and given. There's no reason why we shouldn't be able to do that in this day and age. And then finally, we can put a better cop on the beat. The Federal Election Commission, which is there to enforce campaign finance laws, has been stuck in political gridlock for quite some time, and there's a pretty easy fix there. So, you know, you can do all four of those things. And if you did all four of those things, we would have a much higher functioning system than we do today. It wouldn't be 100% perfect, but it would be much more representative of the will of the people.
There seems to be a general opinion, and you referenced that there's a Pew study that talks about Americans of all parties saying that there is a problem with money in our politics, and it does have an influence. So doesn't that in some way, even amongst the parties and politicians, that there are negatives and there is a problem and we have to address it? So is there a will?
there is absolutely a will on behalf of the American people to address this problem, and it is more intense than it ever has been, which is so encouraging because it shows that the kind of immune system of democracy, meaning the people, are rising up against this. There's actually a poll that's coming out by a group called Third Way, which is an objective, independent, centrist organization. It's the most comprehensive poll I've ever seen on behalf of this issue. And the lead sentence of their summary is, the vitriol associated with money in politics may be more intense than at any time in modern history. And they point out that 84% of Americans say money is too influential in politics today. The breakdown is 90% Democrats, 80% Republicans, 84% Independents. So this is, in such an otherwise divisive political time, this is actually the one thing that it seems like the country could unite around, cleaning up our political system.
So put that into a context of what we're seeing on the in the current presidential political stage.
Bernie, Trump, Cruz. So Bernie, he's got a two-part message. There's economic inequality in America, and it's being driven by political inequality, which is directly due to the campaign finance system that caters to the rich, period. So he's right on this message. And the very surprising rise of Bernie Sanders is in large part because he's been talking about this problem. Trump, I don't know if you remember, but in the second debate with the Republicans, he stood up on the stage and he said, all these guys are bought except for me. I'm the only one who can't be bought because I'm self-financing my campaign. All these other guys are just puppets being controlled by the lobbyists who fund their campaigns. So a large part of his appeal is also because he's talking about money in politics. And CNN went to a Trump rally a couple weeks ago and interviewed people. And for many of them they interviewed, this was the number one reason why they were backing him. And then Cruz was asked in an interview about a week ago about Bernie Sanders. And he said, you know what? He said, the one thing that I agree with Bernie Sanders about is that money controls politics and it's created this Washington cartel and we got to fix it. So I think that this is very likely going to end up being seen, you know, in retrospect come December of this year as one of the top three probably drivers of this election cycle, which is a breakthrough.
And how do you see the breakthrough? How does that manifest itself?
Well, it's going to take a lot of very rapid organizing on behalf of the organizations out there that work on this cause, and I think also on behalf of the whatever's left of some of these campaigns after they fold up shop, like Bernie's campaign. There's going to have to be a very significant moment of organizing to focus on what kind of federal legislation can get done now, and then to begin putting pressure on politicians to pass that legislation. I think that you can assume at this point that either Hillary or Trump might end up in the White House, and if either one of them do, you know, Hillary has claimed that this is one of the four pillars of what she would accomplish as president, and Trump, unfortunately, just doesn't have an agenda, a reform agenda. He's been blasting away at the problem, but he didn't have an agenda. So he'd have to be, you know, we got to kind of foist an agenda on him at this point. But it's going to take the American people. The people have got to start haranguing and harassing our politicians and telling them that it's time to clean this thing up.
The name of the book, Nation on the Take, How Big Money Corrupts Our Democracy and What We Can Do About It. The book is published by Bloomsbury. Nick Penniman is the author along with Wendell Potter. The book is published by Bloomsbury. Nick, thank you very much for spending time with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe.
Great pleasure. Thank you. Again, the title of the book, Nation on the Take. Nick Penniman, our guest this morning. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.